Good. And by the way, for our listeners, you can find us where?
The Taylor Report on Facebook. And
Facebook.com /.
Right. But if you're on Facebook, you go to the Taylor Report.
You weren't at rehearsals. Right. That's the thing that happens.
And Taylor-Report on SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's – I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah.
So, that's okay. That's what we do here. You
look like
the spot.
Yeah, you may be a little like Putin at the wedding of the Austrian woman. He had his notes. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that he had his notes. I see that he went, though, because he speaks the language, too, which is interesting.
That really troubles. Can you see the eyebrows of Rachel Maddow working when she finds out that he speaks German? Oh, my gosh. She will have a nervous breakdown. But no, he showed up at the wedding of Austria's foreign minister. Now, I shouldn't say showed up. Give me a break. He was choreographed. He brought a chorus with him, a Cossack chorus. And they sang songs. They said you could hear it all over the neighborhood. But it was an authentic kind of little wedding gathering. Everybody's kind of a little uncomfortable. They really didn't have it all planned. And so he had his little notes and he gave a speech in German. Yeah. And that definitely there will be 3 or 4 editorials written about that. And there's already a shunning exercise going on. Don't speak to the Austrians. They did this.
Yeah. Well, there's a danger of peace breaking out. I mean, this kind of solidarity and friendship between Austrians and Russians, that's not part of the game plan, right?
No. Historians take note. Yeah. There have been moments. Anyway, this is the Taylor Report. I want to mention, even to get the name said today, we'll be talking about him a little bit more. Bromley Armstrong has died, and he was a major black leader in the Canadian labor movement. He wrote a memoir, which you can get at a different book list, and I urge you, do get it. If it isn't there, we will reprint the whole book. People should know that Bromley was fighting real live segregation in Ontario. He was not served food in he named the restaurant. There was a lawsuit over it. But Bromley was really out there in the front. We're talking about the 50s now and 60s. He was a terrific guy, and we have lost him. And we will have more details about him. Just to get the names, Yuri Avneri has also died, a great writer. And you just put his name, U-R-I Avneri, A-V-N-E-R-Y. Avneri was one of the he really paid his dues. He was part of the armed fight, and he was with the commandos in the Irgun and all that. But then he had a real living political – he always lived on the printed page. You could read his soul movements, how he thought about this and why he was hesitating to view. He ended up quite a good supporter of the rights of the Palestinians, and he's written just beautiful prose, and a terrific man. He lived deep into his 90s. We'll talk again more about Yuri Avneri. And, of course, Kofi Annan has died, and I'm a little later in the show I'll have something to say. He and I stood beside each other once in a courtroom. There were supposed to be crowds in courtroom, and so he stood next to me because I was the crowd. There was only him and me. Oh, and his wife, but... Anyway, so we're going to play a little music, I think, and then we'll come back and talk to the bluesologist about Aretha Franklin. Norman Owens Richmond. This is the Tate Report. Phil Connors is going to say something about opera and
right. There was a time when Luciano Pavarotti, who was... a lazy opera singer because he became the biggest one in the world and the highest paid opera singer
in
the world.
When you say biggest, what are we referring to?
Well, yes. In many ways, he was the biggest. He was kind of walking a, like, make the most money for the least amount of work kind of path after he had really established himself. And anyway, he was supposed to appear on TV and sing his signature aria, Nessun Dorma, from a rather lousy opera by Puccini. It has that one moment which everybody enjoys, and then
I like these snob moments where we are dismissed.
Well, no, I would if you don't believe me, try to sit through a performance of it. But anyway, he was supposed to go on TV, and something like with a couple of hours to go, he decided he wasn't going to appear that night. And Aretha was also appearing on that show, whatever it was, and somebody says, "Well, Aretha, you want to sing it?" And she said, let me have a listen. So she goes and listens to a recording of Pavarotti do it, and she says, yeah, I can do that. And wow. She did. She went out and she sang Nessun Dorma. As far as I'm concerned, she sang it just as well as Pavarotti did.
Well, wow. Is that available somewhere?
Yes, it is. You can listen to Aretha Franklin singing her own version of Nessun Dorma, which she kind of – half in Italian but mostly in English. She kind of made it up on the spot, and it works beautifully, and it's wonderful to listen to. So, I think I'm going to play it on my show Wednesday night, so please listen to Classical Underground.
That's Phil Conlon. That's Classical Underground Wednesday, yes. 6 to 8. And do tune in for that. But just give us the – how would you spell that?
N-E-S-S-U-N is Nessun, which means nobody. Dorma, D-O-R-M-A, means is sleeping. There's a
– Nobody's sleeping?
Nobody's sleeping because everyone is – this big moment is where this guy is going to have to guess what's in the empress's head. And if he guesses wrong, she's going to chop his head off.
Hi.
But if he guesses right, she'll marry him.
Gee.
Yeah. You see what I mean?
I thought your specialty was opera. Now it's horror stories.
this is where they meet.
So I will not be able to sleep tonight. Thank
right.
You. Thank you very much. That's the Phil Conlon Classical Underground, Wednesday 6 to 8. And you will play it.
I will play
and
it.
And it's 20 minutes?
No.
It's 10 minutes? 5 minutes?
3 minutes.
Oh, it's only 3 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. She's still a prodigy, right?
To
do that.
Of course. No. I mean, she just – I mean, first of all, there's this aura around opera, and especially with Pavarotti, there was an aura around him, and especially with this aria, because this is where what he sang when he went everywhere, because it's a crowd pleaser, and it gets everybody jumping up and down, and she just said, yeah, I can do that, and she did.
Wow. But I do – if you can find Pavarotti singing with James Brown.
Yes, you can. Yeah.
And have you reviewed that? Have you seen it?
I haven't reviewed it.
Phil will review
if I
it.
Maybe
you could play it Wednesday. Yeah, that would be – although it really wouldn't be – the great Little Willie John, who was a fantastic singer. I think he was from Detroit. I'm not absolutely sure. But the song is Fever. And as a classic, absolutely beautiful thing.
We played that once, and I mentioned the name of Peggy Lee, and you said, yeah, she got rich off of his song, right?
Little Willie John's song. Yeah. Yeah. And he had a guy in it who was an opening act to him. That was James Brown. And Little Willie John was died in prison under dubious conditions, as often happens with young black performers. Young, gifted, and black, and a horrible story in terms of the tragedy of a great gifted artist. All bringing me back to the comment apropos of James Brown, Pavarotti, is that James Brown tells a story that Willie John was talking to him about the business and about singing. He said, for example, James, I'm a singer. You're an entertainer.
You call me snobby.
James Brown told that story on himself. Didn't mean it as a put down. He meant, you put on a great show.
Yeah.
What I do is I'm a voice.
Yeah.
And if you have never heard Willie John, and now that we're talking about singers and black singers and who had all the struggles, pay the price, young, gifted, and black, include Little Willie John in the mix.
You know, I want to say something about Aretha that it gets – because it's kind of thing that a lot of nasty people make comments about, which is teenage single moms and stuff like that. Aretha was a single mother at the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And she did it – and she had another child too at that age. I mean, her sons who are still living are senior citizens now. She just integrated those kids into her life and lived her life and raised her kids and had this great career. And people just accepted who they were, right? It's like
– what do you know?
Yeah. It's just –
So
it,
she
it's
was
a very
– in other words, she belonged to a church where people were forgiven at their sins and were also
– Absolutely.
There was family support and all that.
Of course.
I thought the whole purpose was to condemn each other.
In the judgmental church I grew up in, boy, how they would have looked at a girl like that and said –
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Here's a chance to really get on somebody's case.
Of course.
Don't miss it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you mentioned it. There are many things. By the way, she led a long life in which she impacted. She met so many people. There are many stories. I mean, you can – but She was a consistent fighter.
By the way, that story about Angela Davis, people can find a Jet magazine, that's J-E-T, like a jet, which was a big magazine in the black community in the 1970s, has that interview with her where she talks about why she's going to use her money to bail out Angela Davis, and her father doesn't agree with her, but that's – she says she respects her father, but, you know, I think that's the right thing to do. And she said, you know, I have a lot of money. Black people gave me that money. And they want me to spend it on black people, and that's what I'm going to do. Right. But anyway, you can find that very easily on the internet, Jet magazine, and it's from the summer of 1970, I think.
Oh, good. Yeah. Sorry.
So it's a very it's a wonderful quote. You know.
Yeah. So now I want to mention also – well, I'll tell everybody again that you can find us on SoundCloud, Taylor-Report, and on Facebook.com/TheTaylorReport. We mentioned at the top of the show, Bromley Armstrong has died, and Bromley Armstrong, I believe, was in Jamaica at the time of his death. We interviewed him on this show about his book, and the book is at a different book list, and I would urge people to get it. You could, of course, order it online, but you have to understand that Bromley was fighting at a time here in Ontario when there was raw segregation in your face, and it was and he was one of the people who didn't take it and formed movements, led movements, and he was very active. He was in the United Auto Workers before it became the Canadian Auto Workers in uniform. By the way, I assume he was proud that his union, Walter Reuther, leading them, was there at the side of Martin Luther King, something you do not see today. You don't see this kind of solidarity anymore. And people, you know, one can run down Walter Reuther. I would be happy to do it. But that was the labor movement doing the right thing, and you got to give credit where it's due. And we also lost Yuri Avneri. I urge you, please, go check out his writings. If you were trying to understand what is going on in the Middle East, the issue with just in the simplest terms, Palestine, Israel. Yuri Avneri was a veteran all the way back, who knew all everybody, Ben Gurion and Ariel Sharon, and he was with them and against them in his life, and he's a great writer. And I urge, and so you, for clarity and for vivid examples and terrific stories, just read him, and you'll be a better person when you're done. We'll talk about him further in the show in the future.